This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Ron McGill joins us every week, and he's getting set to join us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
The telephone number is 786-456-4837 if you want to talk to the animal doctor. Before we do that, though, Christine Lisi, please continue. I'm sorry. Hold on, Mike. Hold My up, bad. Up, I'm sorry. Up. There's a lot going on.
Just a man back here.
All right. Hold on. Go ahead.
And finally, the Milky Way galaxy is located in the largest empty void in the observable universe. Speaking of Milky Ways and empty voids, here's Dan and Stu.
It's getting cheap shoddy. You're telegraphing your shots here, Lisi. It's unfair and frankly lazy. Speaking of which transition needs to, we need to get something else other than that. Thank you. We appreciate your time as always. 786-456-4837. What do you have, Greg Cody, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Hey, Ron, France is announcing that they're banning the use of wild animals in circuses and marine parks. Is that something you'd like to see worldwide?
Quite frankly, yes. I mean, I don't believe in animals in circuses at all unless it's dogs and ponies. So definitely on that aspect. Marine parks is a little bit more of a giveaway there. I mean, there are certainly some things marine parks do very well in educating and protecting some of those animals. Having said that, I will never advocate taking any cetacean out of the wild and putting it in captivity. So I'm all for enforcing that belief. But marine parks and displaying coral reefs and displaying fishes and displaying some of the things that they do, even sharks, I think play a very important role in educating the public about the magnificence of the ocean and the need to protect it.
Why are you okay with dogs and ponies?
Because they're domesticated. They not only enjoy human companionship, enjoy the enrichment of following direction and doing quote-unquote tricks, but many of them need that kind of interaction, that kind of enrichment. So these are animals that over thousands of years have created a bond with human beings, and to display that bond with several different types of behaviors in a public setting does not bother me at all. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's very enriching for those animals.
Which is the saddest of the animals to have in captivity? Because I'd guess whale there. Whales need to roam.
And you know, Dan, for a sports guy, you're very smart, because I would say whales, that would be my number one choice, any of the big cetaceans. I have a hard time with having them in captivity, because they are pelagic. They do need so much, and they're so intelligent. There's so much intelligence there that we don't even know about.
It's cruel, right? It's simply cruel to have them in a confined space. Like, whales in captivity can't be mentally healthy.
You know, I wish I knew enough to say that for sure, but my gut feeling is that yes, you know, especially the larger cetaceans, you know, pilot whales, killer whales, animals like that, animals that are taken out of the wild and put into a captive situation, I cannot believe that is good for them. And I don't advocate that unless it's a last-ditch effort to save a species. And I've said that over and over, even with zoos. I don't believe in taking animals out of the wild and putting them in captivity unless we're saving a species, which we've been able to do with animals like the California condor, the black-footed ferret, the Arabian oryx. These are animals that would be extinct on Earth had it not been for zoos saving them under a captive situation. But that should only be a last-ditch effort. We should not be just taking animals out of the wild and putting them in captivity strictly to, quote-unquote, entertain people.
Ron, how about dolphins? Because when I see them at like these big resorts, they seem so happy. Am I reading that wrong, though?
You know, Stu, dolphins seem happy a lot because naturally their facial position is a smile. When dolphins open their mouth, they look like they're smiling. No matter what they're doing, no matter what they're feeling, they look like they're smiling. Having said that, there are certainly
that's why they look happy, Ron.
It's a tough read.
It's a tough read. Yeah.
But it's not a smile, Stu. It's just not a smile as you interpret it. Okay. Now I want to clarify that there are institutions such as SeaWorld that got such a bad rap with a film like Blackfish that do incredible things to preserve these animals, to conserve them, to protect them, to help them in the wild, You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. But when you talk about these resorts, these places that just had these swim with the dolphins things, that they're usually obtaining these dolphins under nefarious situations, they're pulling them out of the wild, absolutely not. I do not ever encourage folks to support that by going to these swim with the dolphins programs at these resorts we see in the Caribbean and Mexico and places like that. That is horrific. It should never be supported, and I will never, ever support it.
No, but of course, Stugatz, like, you can imagine a smiling dolphin being unhappy just because bloated Stugatz, hairy, waddles up there and wants to pay someone $100. Come over here. I want to swim with a dolphin. Like, how can that animal possibly be happy?
Well, good point.
You know, I don't blame people for wanting to do it, and it's a natural reaction that people want to be next to such an animal because they really love the animal that way. But what you're doing is you're loving them to death by supporting that type of
behavior. See, you're killing the dolphins. Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
Turn that smile upside down, then, and tell me something.
Is Stugatz killing the dolphins, yes or no? Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Well, speaking of whales and dolphins, Ryan, scientists have come up with an enzyme that can eat plastics a lot faster. Can you tell us how plastics have affected our animal kingdom and especially the oceans?
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish I could take everyone for just 5 minutes to some places in the middle of the ocean that literally have islands of plastic, tons and tons of plastic floating in the ocean, and then show them direct correlations to things like sea turtles and fish and pinnipeds like sea lions with plastic that have cut off their limbs, that have killed them slowly by wrapping around, that they've ingested and caused blockages in their intestinal, slow, miserable death. If people could just see that, just see it. You know, the problem is we're so disconnected from it because we just throw the stuff out. We think it goes away. It doesn't go away. But you need to go out and see these islands of plastic, tons and tons of it, and the animals that have died because of it. I can show you pictures of birds that have found dead that they open, and I know this is not a happy subject, but I want to be honest here. You open up their stomachs, and what you see are bottle caps, bottle rings, pieces of plastic in their stomachs that kill them. That's what killed them. And you know, it doesn't kill them quickly. It is a slow, miserable death because plastics take forever to degrade in our environment. That's why it's so good to see people now. You know, I see so many more people with their own, you know, metal bottles, filling them up the bottles at refill stations as opposed to these plastic bottles. Why are people buying bottled water? This is ridiculous. In this country, where we have some of the best water treatment plants in the world, that you're buying bottled water. It is the scam of the century.
Whoa, no politics. Tony, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Tony. What do you have for Ron McGill?
Thanks, Dan. First time, long time. Listen, Ron, I was watching a documentary about sharks the other day and how they can smell blood in the water from miles away. What's the animal in the wild that has the best nose?
You know, sharks would be right up in there, but you got to talk to something like a polar bear. A polar bear can smell a seal from literally miles away. Think about that. Miles away, a polar bear can smell a seal. If you look at the skull of a polar bear, if you look in the nasal cavity, it is like this very dense honeycomb of bones. These are called, these turbinate bones. And the more surface area on a turbinate bone, the better the sense of smell. If you looked at a human skull, we have just like a little loop of turbinate bone in there. But if you look at an otter or a polar bear, it's just this maze, this dense honeycomb of these bones. And that tells you what an incredible sense of smell they have.
Lamont, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Lamont, go ahead, please.
Hello, Ron. Thank you for taking my call. Look, I'm up in North Carolina. I've got these little raptors, little ground moles. They're running through my yard, and they are making these little trenches. I wanted to know what you can tell me. How can I dispose of them? Thank you very much, just like how we need to dispose of them. Thank you.
What does he got running through
the yard? Ground moles.
Oh, listen, the best thing you can hope for is get some owls and some birds of prey in there. You know, owls will eat moles literally by the dozen. There's really nothing else that you can do. This is a type of little small mammal that just is very prevalent, reproduces very quickly, but plays a real important role in the food chain because a lot of animals eat them, whether it be foxes, whether it be raccoons, not really as much raccoons, but foxes, bobcats, and birds of prey. Birds of prey are your biggest controller of those types of vermin.
How do I get owls?
You know, you set up owl boxes. You can set up these boxes that they'll nest in various areas around your property, depending whether it be for a screech owl or even a barn owl. And once you get them nesting in that area, man, especially when they have chicks, they got to be feeding those chicks, and they'll leave more rodents than you'll catch in mouse traps in a year.
Cody, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Cody, go ahead.
Hey, Dr. McGill, I got a question about cats. So it's been determined that cats don't communicate with other cats with meows, but I've witnessed cats communicating with their kittens with meows. So my question is, do they think that humans are just big, dumb kittens? Thank you.
First of all, let me clarify for all the audience. I am not a doctor, okay? I don't want to, you know, gosh, insult
the ESPN. The ESPN executives think you're a doctor. You're the animal doctor. The ones trying to get rid of you think you're a doctor.
Okay, but I'm not a doctor, and that is an insult.
All right, well, let us call you the animal doctor and answer the man's question about cats
Come
and
on,
how they
Doc.
Communicate.
Anyway, first of all, I don't believe, I don't know where you get that rule that cats don't communicate with each other by meowing. I don't understand that. I don't believe that myself. I believe that cats do communicate with each other. The fact that they can communicate with their kittens that way, and I know that, you know, we have two cheetahs that when they are missing each other, they meow to each other and they meow back. So they are communicating with each other. So wherever you read that, I'd like to see that documented because I don't believe it.
Yeah, maybe you are a quack then. Maybe because it's Uber Facts. We've read it on Uber Facts, and if it's on Uber Facts.
Oh, so that makes it.
That's
right.
Of course it does.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, if you were a doctor, perhaps we would take your opinion, because you're not, though. We've got to get rid of you now. See you next week.
Why do you have to go to the other extreme? Why, when I'm trying to understand and respect the profession, that you got to take me to the other extreme of just making me an absolute idiot? I don't know why that is, Dan. I'm just trying to be straight and level with the folks here, because the bottom line is cats do communicate with each other by meowing. And anybody who's worked with cats and doesn't believe that hasn't really spent a lot of time with them, because I spent a lot of time with both wild cats and domestic cats, and they speak to each other by meowing.
Wow, those are the
Boom!
Bona fides. All right, see you later, Doc.
Oh, God, I love you guys, but I hate you too.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and the Big Suey on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So a tweeter writes in here, based on how the segment ended at the end of the 10 o'clock hour where we clipped Greg Cody of the Miami Herald on the Hard Network out while talking to Diana Russini, writes to Diana Russini, did Le Batard Show hang up on you?
You don't get the show.
Another tweet comes in here because of what Stugatz just mentioned here about the Big Suey today. There were a couple of things that were funny on the Big Suey today. The digital-only hour that you can get wherever it is you do this stuff. Please do it. Rate, subscribe, and review, because we've got some looser stuff, some funny stuff, and a couple of the funny things that happened here today. One was we reminisced about that time on ESPN Air that we made a bet, the consequences of which were me eating poop. Mm. And then also we sent out a video with a link on Twitter here of our remembering Mike Ryan, Billy, my father, after Golden State won the championship over LeBron, a parade down Ocean Drive to celebrate, not that Golden State had won necessarily, but that LeBron had lost. And so now a tweeter writes in, and I think he's directing this at Mike Ryan, but maybe Billy as well. Your disdain for LeBron is ridiculous. He made Miami sports relevant again. Wade wasn't bringing any more chips to South Beach alone. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Guy who refers to championships as chips. Douche or no douche?
No douche.
Why not celebrate the good times and wish someone the best instead of doing this petty, passive-aggressive BS? I don't think it's passive-aggressive. I think it's aggressive-aggressive.
Well, also, I don't know if that person realizes that that was when the wound is still raw, but I do reject the premise that he made Miami relevant, as if they didn't already have Chris Bosh on the books and we were all just waiting to see if LeBron was going to make finals appearances a certainty, but that was still prime Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was probably, if it were not for LeBron James not posting up J.J. Barea, on his way to an MVP of that series. Wade and Bosh would have made a finals appearance, regardless of LeBron's participation on that team.
I am watching this video now. It is amazing to see Mike. First off, we're all wearing tank tops, and we are all a lot younger and look a lot better, I might throw in. But your dad, okay? Now, we're all dressed like we're in South Florida. Your dad's wearing a winter hat. He is wearing a ski hat. He is wearing a shirt underneath his Golden State Warriors jersey. It was 1,000 degrees out that day. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Cody, do you have some thoughts here on how the city of Miami feels about LeBron James? Miami was always the mistress. We were never the wife. It was sort of understood this was a mercenary transaction. And while the Miami Heat might have felt hurt and betrayed by everything that happened with LeBron James, Miami should be grateful that he made that the most interesting team South Florida has ever had. More interesting than any of those, you know, University of Miami football teams that were chronicled as sports pornography in 30 for 30s. This is something that he brought here, and really that only he could have brought here. So how's Miami supposed to feel about LeBron James in general, especially now that he stands in the way?
Yeah, I was wondering about that earlier when we were discussing how it ended for LeBron and Pat Riley personally, with Riley feeling so humiliated by LeBron. But in terms of the fans, I think it's really split, which is another element of this NBA Finals that's fascinating to me. I think there's a lot of fans who are grateful for those 4 years, who see the Big Three era and the LeBron era down here as an unequivocal success. I also think there's a hell of a lot of fans who resent the way LeBron left, that he left, and that he sort of, half paid the promise of this dynasty. So I think it's legitimately split down the middle. And that's an element of this that's fascinating to me.
I think most fans are upset with LeBron, and I understand it. Like, listen, he delivered 4 great years, but he sat on the stage before those 4 great years and promised you 8 and only gave you 4. And then he embarrassed Pat Riley at the very end, and Miami loves Riley in a way they'll never love LeBron James.
But I don't think you speak for Miami on this. Like, you're always going bitter sports radio route. Like, I feel like the people that I talk to, because Miami is wildly indifferent under normal circumstances, that time has healed this thing in a way that even when it first happened, you didn't have it feeling the way the departure from Cleveland felt.
No. Dan, you're not hanging out in Uptown, all right? No offense, but you're in the 100 level. You're not hearing what the fans are saying.
When's the last time you were at a Heat game, Billy? Interesting time for a Zoom.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Take a picture of that. Stugatz's weekend observations coming up in just a second. But first, please continue. Christine, Lisa, you were not done telling us what you were telling us.
And finally, women's farts generally smell worse than men's due to a higher level of hydrogen sulfide. Now back to a couple of old farts.
Okay, there it is. Thank you.
I'll work on my writing. How's that?
Thank you, Christine. We appreciate it. Not really. So let's do these weekend observations a day late with Stugatz.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, the upsets, the SEC, the chaos, and just like that, Dan, college football is back. Speaking of back, the Miami Hurricanes?
Is that a question?
It is a question. A tradition unlike any other. The red clay of Roland Garros in late September. Hey, Medvedev, on top of being angry all the time, don't be afraid to maybe mix in a 5-set victory every now and then. Kansas State upset Oklahoma for the second consecutive season. So you know what that means, Dan?
I do not.
It means Kansas State has their number. Death, taxes, and the big game from Rex Burkhead. If, like me, you were wondering about the whereabouts of one Ted Ginn Jr., I found him. He's fine. Still playing in the NFL, living in Chicago, and running out of bounds for the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky is now permanently out of bounds for the Bears. Patriots, ho-hum. Read a headline over the weekend. The college football world reacts to Stugatz as celebrity guest picker on College Game Day.
Yes.
Couple of things. One, there was a reaction. Two, college football world, get a life. The Raiders were for real. Dan, now they are not.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens next week.
Okay.
To my friends Tariq Cohen and Juju Smith-Schuster, Gudjontov, congratulations to the Browns for having a winning record for the first time in 6 years. Imagine how bad the Giants would be if Joe Judge allowed music during training camp. Witching hour. I love you. At best, it's really stupid that Eric Bieniemy isn't a head coach right now. At worst, public Bieniemy. The Bears could just as easily be 0-3. The Falcons could just as easily be 3-0. I can't watch the Falcons anymore. Number 7, Auburn.
You've been betting the Falcons?
I have, yeah.
Otherwise, it's a great roller coaster to watch.
I can't watch them anymore. Number 7, Auburn. Number 4, Georgia. Prime time. Between the hedges. Goosebumps. The Jets. Leading wide receiver was Braxton Berrios. I hate them.
Oh, my God.
Yep. The Colts defense outscored the Jets offense 16-7. I hate them. Only the Jets can make the Colts defense look like the 85 Bears. I hate them. Mike Evans, 2 catches, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns. Making sure my math is right. Does that mean he had 2 1-yard touchdown catches?
It is what it means. Yes.
Efficient and consistent. Little food for thought, Dano. Every time the Marlins have made the postseason, they've won the World Series.
Yes.
Nibble on that.
Yes, I love to nibble.
I dare you to watch Jets and Broncos this Thursday night. The Falcons have the 2nd most points scored in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
And are 0-3.
Thursday night football, that's worse than the pandemic. Jets and Broncos? Oh, my God.
Just a couple of days away.
Oh.
I'll be glued.
Oh, I want to vomit on my microphone.
If football was 3 quarters instead of 4, the Falcons would be the best team in the league. Josh Allen, Dan's worst prediction since he said the 2008 Lions would make the playoffs.
Really?
That team fell just short of the playoffs by going 0-16. Russell Wilson is the best player in football. Period. End of discussion. Sorry. Discussion continues. I was wrong.
That was written before the Mahomes game last night?
Bingo. Best player I've ever seen.
The best player ever on Sunday, but on Monday there's a new different best player.
Over the next 2 days, there are 12 playoff games in Major League Baseball. You want to know how to make your sport interesting? That's how. Greg Popovich, LA Clippers, Collision Course, Broncos.
Kawhi's there.
What do you mean Kawhi's there? Are you asking why or are you telling me Kawhi's there?
Kawhi is there.
No, Kawhi didn't have an issue with Greg Popovich. He had an issue with the doctors. The doctors are staying in San Antonio.
Who are your sources?
I have no idea. I thought that's what I read. Am I wrong?
I mean,
an issue with Pop? Did they sit down and have dinner and hash it all out?
Thought that's
like
what you read?
Yeah, whatever. I have no idea.
I don't know what's surprising about that. That you read or that you thought?
I didn't retain. I have Pop going to the Clippers, man. Book it. Broncos. Jets.
You had Doc Rivers not being fired.
I'm not so certain about that. I think I had him being fired. No?
This was 10 days ago. You said you'd be shocked if he was fired.
Did you attend Diana Rossini's wedding or not?
Perhaps. Broncos, Jets, should be a game that only airs in hell. Speaking of hell, or Bryles, Dan, those are the weekend observations.
We don't know what's the truth around here. We really don't.
Like, he said it was a beautiful Sunday wedding, and it occurred on a Saturday.
That
was
I didn't say that.
I know that when it comes to people dying, the dead, especially when they die young, we do some eulogizing that sometimes can be fawning over the positive while ignoring some of the negative. It also seems like Chadwick Boseman was a real-life superhero when you hear the stories told by people about his general kindness. So now Sienna Miller is telling the story in the making of 21 Bridges, and you know that women historically in Hollywood and in America and in the world, they do not get paid like their male counterparts, that he took straight out of his salary, she told the story, telling her, you're getting paid what you deserve and what you're worth, after the studios weren't paying her correctly. Now, all of this is a very kind story, a moving story. She's volunteering it. He never said anything about this while he was living, which is the best kind of giving, when you can do it simply soulfully because you think something is right, or it just moves you to care in the way that Chadwick Boseman did about writing an injustice. It is appalling that this responsibility falls to him somehow, even in the nice story with studios that make plenty of money off of people, but it's also fairly the norm. Also fairly the norm is the opinion articulated by Liam Neeson here. This is sound courtesy of the AP. Chadwick Boseman is a real life superhero. Liam Neeson plays one in the Taken movies. It really is an amazing thing to see Liam Neeson become an action star, I think in his 50s, maybe in his 60s. Like, our action stars tend to be pretty old. Our action stars historically don't tend to be what you think of action stars. I don't know when Liam Neeson got in the action star game, but I don't think it was before 50.
Well, he's 68 now, so Taken's what, like 10 years old maybe? So yeah, right around 60.
Is that where 58. He got into the action star game? Was it with the movie Taken, that I will stop on anytime I'm near a television? Any one of the Takens. He's done Taken on trains. He's done Taken in movies not called Taken.
He was in the movie Dark Man in 1990. It's the 30th anniversary of that movie, so that's where it basically got his start.
All right, so wait a minute. So then can we say that he was an action star, that he's been an action star for 30 years, or did he get reinvented as an action star?
He reinvented himself because he tried being the superhero in Dark Man, and he wasn't getting action roles for two decades, and then he reinvented himself into this older action star that wouldn't take a pay cut.
That's right. Let's play that sound from the Associated Press.
There's a lot of discussion about it, and a lot of healthy and necessary discussion about it, because the disparity sometimes is disgraceful.
How do you think we can move past that?
We're starting, and it has to start, you know, and it's starting with these extraordinary actresses and brave ladies, and we as men have got to be part of it, you know. We started it. So we have to be part of the solution.
So would you take a pay cut to kind of equal things out?
No. Pay cut? No. That's going too far.
It's the greatest sound ever. Just unbelievable. Like, you can't write stuff. You cannot, in fiction, write something to have an actor act that would have been more comedically perfect than what it is that he gave you there when he's saying, we've got to be part of the solution. She asks him, do you want to personally invest in being part of the solution? And he responds in just comedically perfect fashion.
And we as men have got to be part of it, you know. We started it, so we have to be part of the solution.
So would you take a pay cut to kind of equal things out?
No. Pay cut? No. That's gone too far.
Not this man.
In terms of comedic timing, I think we've only heard literally two things around here that feel like that. It is that and the Tom Brenneman apology in the middle of a home run call, where he is going from, I'm a man of faith, and then you hear the crack of a bat. You hear the and the comedic timing on it is something that feels funnier than anything that could be written in fiction. In fact, when that happened with Brenneman, The people at Brockmire were upset that they hadn't thought of it. Brockmire's,
oh, really?
Yes, I'm dead serious about that. The people who were doing Brockmire saw that play out and were like, how did we not do the guy interrupting his apology for some sort of social justice mistake with a home run call and the need to respect the home run call when you're in the middle of it? Brenneman has now finally resigned. That took a minute. That didn't happen very fast.
Castellanos to lead things off. Jim Day's going to be taking us the rest of the way through this game as Holland takes over on the mound. I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Unfortunate.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
It's unbelievable. That's from FS Ohio, that sound. Something happened. You guys are going to have a chance to make fun of me this entire season if Josh Allen somehow continues to be as accurate as he's been and loses some of the recklessness, because I still believe that he's going to be the reason that that football team loses games, because he's a very reckless, or has been a very reckless quarterback. But I just love that Chris Myers, during the game, in a game where Josh Allen broke three tackles and face-masked a dude because he's so damn strong,
yeah,
and one of the tackles was Aaron Donald, and it was an amazing physical show of strength, Chris Myers, the announcer, actually said this and meant it as a compliment. Josh Allen plays quarterback like a defensive player. Is that a compliment for your quarterback?
I think so, yeah. Just the toughness. Yes, he plays like a defensive player, like a tight end.
But you understand what I'm asking you. You want your quarterback to be a craftsman. You don't want him to be somebody who could take apart a refrigerator with his rage.
Yeah, but I think you want him to be a craftsman, and Josh Allen can do that at times. But when you need to put your head down and get your team 4 yards, you want that guy to be a defensive player.
Cody, is it a compliment to say Chris Myers said Josh Allen plays quarterback like a defensive player? And he does, but I think that's also the reason that the Bills are going to lose games this year, strictly because he plays like a defensive player.
Right. No, it's an insult. It's like saying of your linebacker, he plays.
Hope you enjoyed the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
World star.